Well, as you know, we've been going through the book of 1 Timothy, and especially we've been doing a series on deacons lately. But we're going to interrupt that series for 1 week. We're going to take a little break from it in order to focus on a one-time comeback message. I'm going to invite you to turn, if you would, to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. We're going to read this passage together. Commit the time to the Lord in prayer. And then we'll certainly take a look at it and see what we can learn in our day and time. And I think there's some application for us here. So Nehemiah chapter 8, we'll read the whole chapter, beginning of verse 1. It says, "And all the people gathered as one man at the square, which was in front of the water gate. And they asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Then Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it before the square, which was in the front of the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of men and women, those who could understand, and all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood at a wooden podium, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mattathiah, and Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, Messiah, on his right hand, and Pedaiah, Mishael, Malkijah, Hashem, Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshullam on his left hand. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up." And so at this moment, would you stand with me as we continue to read the rest of this passage? In honor of God's word, they stood. Now, for a number of weeks, we haven't been able to get together and do this. But as a response to our God, let's do this. And verse 6 says, "Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, 'Amen, amen,' while lifting up their hands. Then they bowed low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akab, Shabbathiah, Hodiah, Messiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peleah. The Levites explained the law to the people while the people remained in their place. They read from the book, from the law of God, and translating to give the sense so they could understand the reading. Then Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, 'This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep,' for all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, 'Go, eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.' So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, 'Be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved.' And all the people went away to eat, to drink, to send portions, and to celebrate a great festival, because they understood the words which had been made known to them. Then on the second day, the heads of the father's households of all the people, the priests and the Levites, were gathered to Ezra the scribe, that they might gain insight into the words of the law. And they found written in the law how the Lord had commanded through Moses that the sons of Israel should live in booths during the feast of the seventh month. So they proclaimed and circulated a proclamation in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, 'Go out to the hills and bring olive branches and wild olive branches, myrtle branches, palm branches, and branches of other leafy trees to make booths, as it is written.' So the people went out and brought them and made booths for themselves, each on his roof, in their courts and in the courts of the house of God, and in the square at the water gate and the square at the gate of Ephraim. The entire assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and lived in them. The sons of Israel had indeed not done so from the days of Joshua the son of Nun to that day. And there was great rejoicing. And he read from the book of the law of God daily from the first day to the last day. And they celebrated the feast 7 days, and on this eighth day there was a solemn assembly according to the ordinance." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word today. We thank you for your word, which has taken us through this time. Your word and your spirit have enabled your people to continue to be the church, even though we've not been meeting together. And yet today, we rejoice that we can. We're so thankful for each and every man and woman and child who's here today, and those who are watching, maybe Facebook Live, who couldn't be with us. We're so thankful for each one of your people and those who may be looking who aren't your people but who want to know more. We pray, Father, that this would be a day of encouragement. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So I have a question for you. how long has it been since we've met together corporately? Do you know how many weeks it's been? 12 is exactly right. 12 is exactly right. 12 weeks ago today, we met, was the last time we assembled here together. Now, I know that each week, God has given us, now this is a great thing. We thank the Lord for the internet and for the things we've been able to do to still be able to communicate with God's people. But I can tell you this, each and every week that I've had the privilege to preach anyway, I know it's been true of those who've also preached, we have missed being with God's people. And while we thank the God for the technology that we have missed his people. It's great to be back together again, isn't it? Oh man, it's good. It's good. So why the passage today? You know, there are three questions that are important to ask anytime we take a look at a portion of Scripture. The first is, what is the passage about? And very simply, this passage is about the Lord's people gather to understand his word. That's why this passage, or what this passage is about. Well, why? Why is this particular passage here? The author is helping us understand it has been too long since they have been together to be able to read God's word and to understand it. Now, back in 1918, when there was the pandemic back then, according to the research I've been able to do, churches during the second wave, especially of that, scaled back on their services 3 to 5 weeks. Now, notice we've gone 12. And we think that's been a long time, and it has been. But let me just clue you into this passage in Nehemiah 8. You know how long it's been since the people there have been able to gather as an assembly, as the group of God's people, to gather, to hear God's word read and explained? Estimates are in the area of 170 years. You see, they'd had 70 years of captivity coming after that. The books of Ezra and Nehemiah take about 110 years, roughly. And it was during most of that time they hadn't even gotten together to do this type of thing, together as a group. So while we think it's been a long time for us, realize that God's people in the past have had a long period of time where they've not been able to get together like this, where it hasn't taken place like this. So what? Well, I want to encourage you with this. This morning, as we take a look at the scripture, I want you to have, there's a personal assignment with this, and then there's a corporate response. And here's the personal assignment. I want you, during this time that we have together in the Word, to learn as much as you can, or to remind yourself as much as you can about who our God is. Because if we will do that, I think it will help us then respond as his people in the way that he wants us to respond. And I think there's an exciting future for his people here as we do that. His people gather, and they understand, and there's a great response to that. But we just want to ask generally, why this time? I mean, a lot of us have been frustrated with all the things you hear, so many even conflicting things in the news, and you just think, oh man, what is this all about? I'm so frustrated by this. And don't think that myself or elders haven't struggled with that too. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 7, speaking of the sovereignty of God, says this. For the sake of Jacob, this is talking about God using Cyrus, a pagan king. For the sake of Jacob, my servant, and Israel, my chosen one, I have also called you by your name. I've given you a title of honor, though you have not known me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that men may know from the rising to the setting of the sun that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. The one forming light and creating darkness, causing well-being and creating calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. So while we can rack our brains trying to figure out what in the world is going on, and even the experts are conflicted in how they're answering things, one thing we can know for certain, and that is we have a sovereign God who through the good times and through the times that are bad, through the times of prosperity and through the times of calamity, he wants people to know that he and he alone is God. And as people of God, we can help. He's chosen to use us. in our response to that. So our sermon in a sense today is this. Very simply, gather with the Lord's people, understand His word, and rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to repeat that. Gather with the Lord's people, understand His word, and rejoice in the Lord. If you remember nothing else today, please remember that. Because I think that gives us a great godly mindset as we go forward from here. Gather with the Lord's people, understand His word, rejoice in the Lord. So what happens when the Lord's people get together after these 170 years where they've not been able to gather and hear His word read and explained to them? Well, as we take a look back at verse 1 again, we see that all the people gathered, it says, as one man. Now, if you've noticed in watching the news lately, there's a lot of gathering going on these days, right? Some of it for godly purposes, some of it certainly not for godly purposes. It's interesting that another place where this phrase is used is in the book of Judges. Judges chapter 20, something terrible has happened. A Levite's concubine has been raped and murdered. The Levite who had this woman actually divided her body, sent it out to all the tribes of Israel, and we're told that God's people gathered as one man unto the Lord. There's a horrendous thing that had taken place. And what happened as a response was Israel gathered as one man to the Lord. The thing I would suggest is that there are a lot of people gathering today for many different reasons. But may we as His people gather together unto the Lord to seek Him, to seek His way, to be His people in this time. Well, notice here again, the people were told in verse 1, all the people gathered as one man in the square. In the courts, we have, if you will, this is the closest thing to a square court that we have right here, right? You're here. It's great to have you here. Then notice it said they asked Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses. Now, usually during this custom in this month, in the seventh month of the year, they didn't start actually opening the word, if you will, until middle of the way through the month. But here, the first day of the month, they're asking Ezra to bring the book of Moses. What type of hunger do you have for God's word? They wanted to hear it. And I know you are here today too because you so love God's word as well and you love His people. Now, we're told in verse 1 also that this book of Moses, the last part of it says, which the Lord had given to Israel. God gave this book to Israel. Now, imagine, if you will, a library in your home. And this library is filled with all kinds of books, all kinds of knowledge, all kinds of sources of authority. But there's one book in that library that you know God has given to you, and that is the Bible, His Word. Now, many of us may have libraries at home full of books. And in my office, I have a lot of books in there. But there's one that I know truly has been given by God directly through His Holy Spirit to men who've been inspired to pen its words. And that is the Bible. How often are you going to that one book that you know God has given? Now, I know many of you have because you've told me about verses that you've read that have helped you through this time. But get this, of all the books we have in our library, of all the sources of authority that we listen to, one is from God, and that is His holy word. And may we have a hunger and a desire to be in that. Now, I know we've all been challenged with that. Maybe at times more faithful than others during this whole time. But this is a reminder, again, when we gather weekly, that this is our source of authority. This is from God. Well, whoever is preaching this particular week, realize that the portion of Scripture they bring is from God. And that's an amazing thing. It's an amazing privilege that we have. Notice the crowd. There were men and women, and we said all who could listen with understanding. Who's that talking about? It's talking about the children, those who could actually understand these words. As I look around this morning, I see all just a large number of children, and we have that when we usually meet anyway. But I'm so thankful for each and every child that I'm seeing this morning, and maybe even those who are watching on Facebook Live, but I'm so thankful for them. And get this, we should never take these gatherings with these young ones lightly. Don't ever take it. We might tend to think, you know, these are young children. They're not going to understand. But don't be mistaken. Even children, and we don't know what ages that comes in understanding what time the Holy Spirit begins to really impress upon them and help them understand His Word. But children understand God's truth. Be thankful for every child that's here. Realize that every time we speak to them and in front of them, it's an opportunity for them to hear God's truth. But what are they hearing from us? So I'm so thankful for our youth and our young ones who are here today. Now you parents know that you can watch movies and your kids can pick up on lines on movies that sometimes you wish they hadn't picked up on, right? You've been there as a parent, I'm sure. Well, our kids pick up on things. And we need to have them where God's word is proclaimed so they can hear those and God's Spirit can use those words to even change their life. In verse 3, we're told that he read from the law before the square, which is in the front of the water gate, from early morning until midday in the presence of men and women, those who could understand. All the people were attentive to the book of law. The Hebrew there means they read from the light until noon. That's 6 hours. 6 hours. So what is your capacity to listen to God's word read and being taught? Is it 6 hours? I was talking to some of our elders about kind of the plan we were thinking about doing for today, and Scott, I have to just go to your comment. He says, "Oh, in that scene, they're out there standing up for like hours." He goes, "I think we need to just keep up with the deacon series." Well, we're gonna be able to get back to the deacon series, but we didn't have you stand the whole time. Didn't have you stand the whole time. But just notice it's interesting to see their response. Now, to the practice of that time, actually, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 10 to 11, I just want to read this. So Moses wrote this law. We know he wrote the first 5 books of the Old Testament, and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. Then Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the time of the year of remission of debts, at the Feast of Booths, that's this time here that we're talking about, Nehemiah, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place which he will choose, you shall read this law in front of all Israel in their hearing. Every 7 years, the people of Israel, during this time, during the seventh month, would be brought in, this time of Thanksgiving, and the book of the law would be read to them. And it would take hours to read it. Again, what are our opportunities for scripture intake? We have many, but what are we taking in? And let's not let the time we've come through let us forget of the importance we need to hold to God's word continually and daily. In verse 4, we're told that they went. Ezra stood at the wooden podium. This is called by some the watchtower, and held 13 people. This wasn't just an ordinary podium. He had 6 on his right, 6 men on his right, and 7 on his left. And what were they there for? Both to affirm to the people, hey, what this one is saying is true, but also to assist them as he had need. And it gets me thinking this, do we as God's people, are we willing to affirm his spokespeople as they speak the truth and then to assist them as we're able to? Well, this is what happens as God's people get together. They're saying to Ezra, bring us God's law. We want to hear it. And bring it to us early. We don't want to wait till midway through this month. We want to take it right now. Well, let's take a look at what we see in verses 5 to 8, and that is they understand his word. As the word is being taught, they understand it. Verse 5 says, Ezra opened the book on the side of the people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood. This we had you stand up earlier. It's just showing that they had regard for God's word, and they wanted to show honor to him. Now, the thing that's interesting is there's a quote that talked about how people stood during the giving of the law. One person said that from Moses to the Rabbi Gamaliel, they learned only as they stood. And after Gamaliel's death, there's a disease that came into the world. They learned to the law sitting, and now it's canon with them that they don't have to stand at the reading of the law. That was an interesting little piece of history there. But you see that they would stand for hours to learn God's law. And we see when we look at verse 6 that Ezra blessed the Lord. It's a short prayer. And he says in verse 6, Lord, bless the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, amen and amen, while lifting up their hands, and they bowed low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. When we see that, it's easy for us to read over, but what was common at that time was before they would read the law, whoever was doing the teaching would just offer a short prayer, and the people would say, amen, amen to that, and then they would get into it and read it. And as they did it, we're told that there was two responses. One is that they lift up their hands, sort of symbolic of my attention and my focus is on God, and yet they would bow to the ground as they did that, showing that they reverenced him, that they submitted themselves to him. It was symbolic of what their heart should look like. So I ask you this morning, do we lift our hands to him saying, you are my portion, you are my desire, and yet you are my God? As we both lift our hands to him and bow to him, showing him that dual idea that we desire you and we are submissive to you. This is the attitude that people brought on that day, and may it be our attitude as well. Well, we're told in verse 7 that these men explain the law to the people. Also, Jeshua mentions all those, explained the law to the people while the people remained in their place. Make no mistake about it, this is a team effort. A team effort. It's not just Ezra, it's all these who are helping him out as well. You know what, Sterling Breen, I'm going to tell you something that's nothing new to you, and it's this. We have a team of people in this church who continue to proclaim God's word and teach it even when we can't meet. I'd like anyone who helped preach during the time of the weeks that we were away, please to stand. If you filled in on a Sunday morning preaching, would you just stand? And then I like those who helped out with the devotionals. If you did a devotional, would you stand? If you did any of the recorded devotionals. Or if you have done a small group with your people, even with Zoom, could you just stand? Or Sunday school class, could you just stand? If you've done a nursing home ministry that's been recorded so they could have it, could you just stand for a second? Okay, now I want you to do this. I know not everybody's here, but look around. You see in our midst, and there are others who aren't here with us right now, a number of people who've given devotionals, who've spoken. There's a team of people who continue to proclaim God's word even if we can't meet. Let's thank the Lord for these guys. I'm so thankful. Let me tell you what. If you understand God's work, it's never been about one person. God has this team of people. And it's no different here. It's Sterling Breen. And I'm so thankful for these group of people. I praise the Lord for each and every one of you who've ministered to our body through this time. It's incredible. Well, in verse 8, we're told that they read from the book, they translate it, and they explain it. You see, it was written in Hebrew, but many of the people who'd gone into exile to Babylon didn't know Hebrew anymore. So they had to translate into the Aramaic language, probably most of them knew. And then they had to explain it so they could understand it. You know, people in that time needed to have God's word explained, not just read. Sometimes you read through portions of Scripture, and it's like, okay, I know that's God's word, but I need some help with this. And that's why good Bible teaching and preaching should help people not only just to read the words, but to understand the background, to understand what the words mean, to connect other portions of Scripture, to help it apply to our lives. I mean, these are things, that's why we come together. That's what helps us out as we hear other people do this. If they needed to at that time, how much more do we need it when we're centuries later? We too speak a different language than the Bible is written in. We live in a different culture. We really need it. We really need it. Well, so God's people gather together. We see how they responded. And then they're understanding God's word. That's a tremendous thing. But the final point, and it's one I hope you take home with you, rejoice in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Verse 9, the leaders are to say to the people in verse 9, because in response to this, this is what's going on. In verse 9, the Nehemiah, who's the governor, Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. Why? Because it had been so long since they'd been under the word, they were convicted by it. And it brought them to tears. They were broken. Now you can live in two ways when you haven't been under God's word for a while. One is to live under conviction. And that is, you're convicted of something in your life that isn't right. You know it's not right. You know God's word speaks to that. So you confess that to God, you repent of it, and by God's grace, you walk with him in the way that would honor him. That's a conviction that's responded to properly. But when conviction comes and we sort of keep tossing it behind us or ignoring it, it can turn into a guilt for us that will not go away. Because we're not responding to that conviction, God-given conviction the Holy Spirit's doing in our life, we don't respond to it, and so there's just no, this is a guilt. Well, during this time that we've been apart, I've been convicted at times about my attitude on different things, about different sins in my own life. And I've either had to deal with it, or I get guilty about it because I'm not dealing with it the way God wants me to. Maybe you can relate to that too. But let's make sure as God's people that we respond to his Holy Spirit conviction in a way that's proper and right. We confess and we repent. We turn to him, not just to know what he wants us to do, but to follow that. That's to those who are in Christ. Now, verse 10, instead of being a mourning, because you see, the Day of Atonement was the one day where they were to grieve. But the other feasts God gave, including this one, was to be a day of celebration as they thought about God's goodness. And in our day, today, even though we may have some remorse and guilt and sadness over things that we've lost maybe during this time, God wants us to be grateful to him and rejoice in him and be so thankful for what he's given to us. In verse 10, they said to them, "Go eat of the fat and drink of the sweet and send portions to him who has nothing prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the day of the joy of the Lord is your strength." If that's one verse you want to take from this, look at Nehemiah 8:10. "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." That's the one thing above all things I hope you take with you today, that as we go forward, we must find our satisfaction and gratitude in the Lord. We need to rejoice in him. We need to have that relationship be which drives every other relationship that we're going to encounter. And we need to really take that to heart. Now, it's interesting that send portions to him who has nothing prepared. That is, to those who were poor in the land, they were to take provisions for this feast to them. Now, the thing we need to understand is that, like that day, in our day, we have people who are poor among us as well. However, it's been interesting as we've been going through this time. We've checked with Cooperative Ministry at different times, and they've told us that really people haven't been coming to them because landlords maybe haven't been evicting them. Utility companies haven't been shutting them off. They said, as of right now, our pantries are full. Things are looking pretty good. But check with us in several months and we'll tell you. Well, I don't know what's going to be the end game of all of this. Don't predict it to know that. But I would say, as God's people, even though things in our community right now seem to be okay, as God's people, let's be tuned in to those who are maybe not as fortunate as we are. Be tuned into that, is because of some of these things begin to play out, there might be a greater need. But this is part of this day of celebration. They're not just to celebrate themselves, but they're to help others be able to as well, those who didn't have the means to do so. And the verse 10 finish out, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." Now, tough times are ahead for these people. Tough times are ahead, and they're going to be for us too. We celebrate today. We're glad to be together, but we've got struggles. We've got challenges ahead of us. We'll talk about that more later as we close out, but we need to understand that through this, though, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Take that home with you. Memorize it. Realize that. Verse 11 says, "Thank the Lord." Well, I say thank the Lord for the calming Levites. If you look at verse 11, so the Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved." You had all these people who were grieving, and yet the Levites came along and said, "Don't be grieving. You know, find your joy in the Lord. This is a day of celebration." I'm so thankful for God's people here, those who have been calming voices. And there have been even calming voices out there to me when I've been frustrated with something or said something, and somebody just said something, it's like, ooh, that's right. Thank God for God's calming voices in his body. And a number of you have been that for me even through this time. And hopefully we've been able to encourage one another through this. And we need to continue to do that as we go forward. But verse 12, "And all the people went away to eat, to drink, and to send portions, and to celebrate a great festival, because they understood the words which had been made known to them." Notice there was a celebration. Because, notice what it says, they understood the words which had been known to them. These people were in such a fast for God's word. I mean, F-A-S-T, they'd been without it being read, without it being explained. They were hungry for it. And because they now understood God's law, they were rejoicing. I think, honestly, sometimes with us, we can have so much access to it that we take it for granted, and we don't rejoice that we can understand the very words that God has given us. May we too celebrate and rejoice in what God has made known to us. What a great, great thing this is. Will you celebrate? Will you even celebrate with brothers and sisters in Christ as you're able to? Oh, our great God, how much he's revealed to us and talked with one another about what he has taught you through this time, through his word. Well, what happens when the people get serious about God's word? Just very briefly, in verses 13 to 18, we're going to see this. In verse 13, it's the second day, and here the leaders gather around Ezra to get insight. The heads of the households come so they can teach their families. The leaders come so they can teach the congregation. They're seeking to get themselves equipped. And I would say to those of you who are heads of households, to those of you who are leaders in this congregation, are you actively seeking to gain insight into God's word? We have so many resources. We need to be actively involved in letting God equip us to do further ministry. Never give this up. Even though God is beginning to do work in his people and they're responding to it positively, even they're celebrating, the leaders are saying, give us more insight, Ezra. We want to learn more because we want to be tools of God with this people. May that be our attitude. You know what happened when they got serious and got in the word too? Three things. First of all, they found things in there. Like, for instance, in verse 14, they found about these booths or tabernacles that they were supposed to make. Because they were in the word of God, they found about this special commemoration they were to be made as the people of God, where they were getting to booths, or we'd say tabernacles, or like a hut. If you will, the people were to go camping to remember how God had taken care of them in the wilderness. And may we, as we go through this time, remember how God has been faithful to us. So they found this commandment about this Feast of Tabernacles. They found it, but they didn't just stop there. They began to proclaim, saying, hey, we found this in God's law. Now let's do it. The leadership called the people to action. Go gather leaves and things you can make these booths with so we can camp out for this time and remember what God has done for us. And so they began to proclaim this, leaders did, and then notice in verses 16 and following, they do it. They make the booths in verse 16. Verse 17 says this, and you got to hear this. I'm going to read this one. The entire assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and lived in them. And the sons of Israel had indeed not done so from the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, to that day. Let me repeat the first part of it. The entire assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and lived in them. 100% participation. The people who had returned, they were in on this commemoration. They were going to do it. They found things because they were serious about the word of God. Then they began to proclaim to one another, we got to do this. Gather your stuff. Let's make these booths. Let's do it. And the people do it. We're told that they hadn't done that since the days of Joshua. Let me remind you, in the days of Joshua, they were coming into the promised land and the people were commemorating it, looking forward to that day of stability, that day of permanence. Now as they're coming back from exile, they're remembering again God's faithfulness. We have been sojourners, but we are back in our land. And they're commemorating that and they're celebrating that. And notice what verse 18 says. Verse 18 says, verse 17, and they were greatly rejoicing. Verse 18, he read from the book of the law of God daily from the first day to the last day, and they celebrated the feast 7 days, and on this eighth day, there was a solemn assembly according to the ordinance. There was great rejoicing. Why was there great rejoicing? Because there was great obedience. There was great rejoicing because there was great obedience, which came because they understood the word of God, which came about because they gathered as God's people. That's why our times are so precious, because as we gather, God helps us understand his word, not just in word, but in action. And then as we do it, God brings great joy to our lives. And I think we need to remember that. And they were told in verse 18, they read from the book of the law daily. This is more than they were commanded to do. The law didn't state that they were to do that, but they did. They went above and beyond when it came to taking in the word. They wanted to know. They wanted to commemorate God's word. And then in chapter 9, which we're not going to deal with, there's great mourning. I told you tough days were ahead for them. And they're going to be challenging days for us too. What was ahead for them? They had some tough challenges ahead. They were going to have to go in. As you look at Nehemiah 13, some challenges they faced, there were some foreigners who shouldn't be in places where they should be, and they were asked to leave. Their tithes had to be restored because they had neglected that. The Sabbath had to be restored because they had neglected that. Mixed marriages, which had been forbidden, had been taken part in, and they had to do away with that. There was a lot of tough stuff that God's people had to deal with. But God gave us Nehemiah chapter 8 before Nehemiah chapter 13, so he would show us how his people could endure it. That is, you gather with his people, you learn what his word says so that we can do it and rejoice and be able to deal with the difficulties that come our way. So as we close out today, just some applications. First of all, gather with the Lord's people. You've already applied this. You're here. Now, some need to be careful, and we understand that. They may be watching on Facebook Live today. Some can be here, but they cannot wait to get here. Some maybe got used to not gathering with God's people. Some are very discouraged, and you don't know how important this getting together is. I've heard from a number of people who are greatly discouraged and need to be with God's people. This is so important. Some may avoid it because they don't want to have the tensions that come with this time. There are a lot of tensions out there on all kinds of different issues. So I talked to a group of pastors from different Berean churches this past week. And they said, they're like 2 or 3 weeks down the road of going in, you know, meeting again. And one of the connections that came up, you know, there's an M&M issue out there with churches coming back. M&M troubles in the church. What are M&M troubles? Masks and music. Yeah. Because of different things that are talked about in regard to those things. And, you know, churches are dealing with that. And we have to just realize that those are things that our culture is dealing with right now. We have to be aware of that. Remember, Nehemiah 8. And then some during this time have agendas that they're seeking to champion. And I would just say, be gracious. But let's try to quickly turn people to God's agenda. So gather with the Lord's people. This is so important. Secondly, understand his word. This is a time for a renewed commitment to weekly get together and to hear his word proclaimed and explained. This is a chance we've been encouraging small groups to meet already, but continue to meet with those small groups. Even if you have to do Zoom temporarily or whatever, get with your groups though. Be encouraged. It's a time for us to keep up with our Sunday school class. We hope in time, and hopefully in the near future, to get our Sunday school going back again. But just patiently hang in there. Personally, keep digging in. Devos, keep taking them in. Understand his word. Let that continue to be your hunger and your desire during this time. Gather with the Lord's people. Understand the word. Finally, rejoice in the Lord. Next week, we're going to come back. We're going to go inside. And it's going to be different for us. Our culture is struggling with a lot of things right now. Our government we're struggling with a lot of things right now. Businesses are struggling to get open. It was so good to be even in a restaurant this past week in town so they can get going. Schools have to work through things. I mean, all around us, we're going to be mourning way things weren't and hoping they could get back to normal soon, and we're just going to struggle with that. But we need to understand, for believers, again, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We have to march on with that as reminding ourselves and reminding each other of that. But finally, there may be those who don't know Christ. What do we share with them? We share with them God's agenda, which is the gospel. Romans chapter 3, verse 21 says, "But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace to the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed, for the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Let us not forget in these times that while as Christians we can join the Lord, our unsaved friends cannot until they come to understand the gospel. That's why it's so important that we be willing to tell them, listen, we have a problem bigger than coronavirus, and it's called sin. And the one thing I can guarantee you is that all of us have that. That's the biggest issue you need to be concerned about. And the only remedy for it is through the cross of Jesus Christ. He died for us. He took our place. He took our sin. And if you would just turn from your sin and turn to him and realize that he and he alone paid the price for your sin, and trust in him and him alone for your salvation, walk with him. He will give you that joy that you desire in your life. And my friends, with all the stuff that's going on out there, that must be the message that we're taking to our unsaved friends day after day after day, so that they too can have the joy of the Lord, and that can be their strength. That's the only solution to this. So I encourage you in that way. Gather with the Lord's people, understand his word, and rejoice in the Lord. Father, we thank you for this time today in your word. We thank you for the time of singing. We look forward to singing this final song together, and I pray that we'll sing with our hearts to you. I pray that we'll rejoice. I pray that we'll be your people that the world needs so desperately to see. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.